Hello, dear student. Good day to you. Oh, I'm Professor Sheikh Rahmatullah, and we continue our learning on tourism marketing. And today's topic with the chapter 5 is tourism demand from the buyer's motivational point of view. So again, yeah, tourism demand, we start learning on buyer's motivation. We will understand the motivation, the buyers, and their influences on the customers on tourism demand. This is what we will learn. We will also learn how to know about the various buyer behaviors or attitude that affects the demand to tourism behavior. So how the behaviors of the consumers, end users, and their attitude has an effect on demand of the tourism services. We will also try to understand of tourists' life cycle and needed interventions. So all these are the topics on tourism demand from the buyer motivation point of view. What is travel motivation? What do you think, why motivation comes for to take up a travel? We notice that with the changing time nowadays, people travel for different reasons. We know that some people travel for leisure, business, medical attention, sports, adventure tourism, and so on. Or the traveling today is characterized by a wide range of motivation. So, as I counted on, leisure, business, etc., are the motivation that prepares people for traveling. And these motivations, which includes once again, like business for, like for MICE, meetings, convention, exhibitions, events, etc., or for holiday. You have official break, you would like to go on a holiday, you would like to travel on leisure, all that for religious purposes, for cultural understanding, visiting friends and relatives, which is a very large number of travelers that go around, especially Indians going to UAE, Saudi, US, Canada, because we go and meet our friends and our relatives, and for education and health. So these are all motivations that come into the end user, the traveler, to go and take up their travel activities. Few of the things I will read for you, like professional who travel for business activities, to connect with people, to interact with people. People travel for holiday, vacation, like a summer break, school holidays, or you take a break on yourself to get out of the stressful life and go on a vacation. As they commonly say, if you don't take a break, you will mentally break. To cut that, people go on holiday, people go for religious purposes, or many a time I've said, like going for some rituals, some Kumbh Mela sort of an activity, going for darshan, going for some religious function, going for Hajj, going for Umrah. All these are religious travel motivation, cultural, psychological, personal, and education also form and motivates people to travel. Various cultural activities people do outside their home environment, or for some psychological need where someone is told that you need to take a break from your day-to-day lifestyle and take and go for peace. Some people go for yoga classes, some people go down for example, people travel also for regeneration. These are all psychological impact. It's not medical tourism, but you just would like to come out of your stress, and so many other things like adventure and social, interpersonal, where you go for meeting people who whom you would like to establish more friendship. Some people these days, especially Gen Z, is traveling a lot because of new connection they would have made through Insta and through different social and digital media. And then people also go for health and medical. Let me put it straight that health, medical are not the same. At the same time, people go for regeneration. That's totally different. You just like to come into a fitness. For that is you go for regeneration, whereas medical, which means you need a special type of a treatment. So these are all different travel motivation that I just now counted on for us to know what motivates. Let's start learning more onto that as to what is the professional or business element. People go out of their workplace also for professional and business activities. Someone has established contact with, or somebody would like to go and sign a business deal, discuss more about it, or learn something new business activity happening around. And for that, people travel to work-related matters. For example, airline crew travel practically every day. The crew goes on a flight from Mumbai to London, and then they take a break of 6 to 8 or 10 hours, and then they come back on next returning flight. So they also is a sort of a business travel. Maintenance personal, for example, somebody working on a rig, on a platform where they are drilling petroleum. Or truck drivers, they go from one point to another point and they travel a lot. So this is one of the reasons as a professional traveling. They haven't gone for any fun, but that's their duty. Say, for example, working on a rig in the high seas is one of the duties people do to explore oil. Again, in search of employment opportunities. And we have finest example of such people working in Gulf countries, working in UK, US, Australia. All these people have gone there to look for business, employment, etc. And they have been successful. Some of them have been living for ages. In fact, there is a new generation that has grown with our Indian nationality and have never come to India, but they are still Indian because they have been raised there and they are living there because their fathers, their mothers, their family has gone initially to look for employment opportunities in those countries. Yes, and for private sector business, small business operator, medium and small scale industries that have been set up by Indians across the Western countries, in Gulf countries and so on, they have traveled for that. Again, attending conferences, meeting and exhibition. This part of travel motivation falls under MICE, M-I-C-E, MICE. MICE stand for meeting, incentive, conference, exhibition, and event. And people do travel for that. A meeting happening somewhere in Egypt of some doctors, or a conference is happening in Alberta, USA, or an exhibition happening in Shanghai, just for textile manufacturing units that have been built. And people do travel such a long distance for professional, and that motivates them. Attending training workshop and short-term courses, for that also people have traveled. For example, a mechanic working for a Mercedes car, or people working in hangars of the airlines at different countries would go and learn about the aircraft. And for them, they have to go for a training workshop at the Airbus factory in France or the Boeing in San Diego in US. And they will be traveling, and that motivates them to travel. Some people go down for short courses. For example, certain things have come up as an additional knowledge they should go and learn. So all these are travel motivation from the angle of professional and business activities. Again, a very common reason why people travel is for holiday and vacation. Now, this has been added as a travel motivation in not more than last 50 to 60 years. Before that, even to Western countries, it was called a visit. It was never counted as a travel holiday or vacation sort of a travel. Though the idea behind that was for holiday, but it was known as visit. And the visas that were issued those times were called visit visa, which needed a lot of paperwork and so on. But now with the implementation of a tourist visa, people take the option and apply for a tourist visa, which could be 1 month, 15 days or 3 months, depending on how much time do you want. Maximum visa validity is mostly a month. So visiting tourist places, destination, as a part of a leisure travel or vacation. And this has picked up a lot. We see most countries offer this sector, this type of visa, inviting international tourists to visit their country, and that motivates. Thus, easier the processing of tourist visa, people offer such countries. Yeah. So that's a holiday and vacation travel motivation. And this comes out of lot of digital media platform where they learn, word of mouth comes to them from the people who have gone there. So all this will be added as a travel motivation. Traveling to favorite places for relaxation and have some change from routine life and also to reduce stress. And this goes true for people going down from Mumbai to Goa, people traveling from Mumbai to the state of Kerala, just to relax, or people in North India going from Delhi to Himachal, people going from Delhi to other parts in the Northern India, and from Eastern, or even from India, from Mumbai and other places, people go down for relaxation to the Seven Sisters state. So all these are adding to the holiday and vacation reasoning for the travel motivation picked up out of traveling for the holiday and vacation. Religion, well, this is a very common element. People from subcontinent, people from Southeast Asia, all pick up this as a travel motivation. For example, Buddhists living in Vietnam, in Thailand, in Japan, or for that matter, in any Southeastern country, or Buddhists from Sri Lanka, they come to India for the religious activity of visiting Buddha Gaya, where Gautam Buddha got the Nirvana. And we get a lot of such tourists coming to India. In fact, there is an airport at Buddha Gaya, which only entertains people coming in for religious purposes. Now, this is with the Buddhist part of religion I'm talking. Likewise, people go and come to India for religious activity, like somebody coming to do last rituals of their family member who passed away somewhere in US or Canada, and to perform last ritual, they come to Uttarakhand, they go to Varanasi, they go to Prayagraj, or people coming in for Kumbh Mela that happens in the four places like Ujjain, Nashik, or Prayagraj. All these are religious activities that happen for which it is motivated, or people in Maharashtra go for Ashtadham, people go to other places in Maharashtra, like Pandharpur is a very famous place for people visiting the religious activities of performance. Visiting places for meditation and study purposes. Yes, this is a very old chapter of travel motivation. Hyun Sang came to India, the famous Chinese traveler. He came to India to learn about Buddhism. And that motivated him to travel to India for religious purposes. He picked up a lot of knowledge and education on Buddhism when he came to India, Hyun Sang. So we know that people do get motivated to travel, not to forget people going for Hajj, people going for Umrah, people going for St. Peter's Square in Rome, people going to places in France and so many other places which are linked for and had a linkage with religious travel motivation. Like, for example, Jews come down or Christians go to Bethlehem also, the birthplace of Jesus Christ. And all these are travel motivation. We now have another area for understanding of travel motivation, which is cultural, personal, and education. So particular festivals related to music, film, theater, etc., people do travel. And we do have different, through different embassies and different relationships with the country, we do invite a lot of cultural exchange group where scholars, writers, poets go and visit another country, or we invite them for a scholarly discussion, purely focusing on to the theater activities or for festival activities or for an intellectual get together. We have on record like music festival that happens on a small scale at various places in Mumbai, like at Kalaghora, or a huge musical festival happening anywhere in France or in Germany or any other places. People do go down. People go down for film activities. People, domestic travelers, all over India, people do come to Mumbai to watch the movie shooting. And of course, not to forget the film festival that happened, international film festival that happens in Goa, and the famous Cannes festival. All these are reason and travel motivation for Academy Awards. People go down, people go for different award ceremonies, people go, and how can we forget the IFA Awards, which is linked to films, which happens every year in some country or the other. And people do travel long distance to participate in those film festivals where artists are being rewarded. So visiting an heritage site, for example, destination with heritage value and cultural places due to their important, that includes, of course, ecotourism. Ecotourism is some area without which a successful tourism industry cannot remain established. If you overlook ecotourism, sustainable tourism, you will not be retaining the sustainability of that destination. Sooner or later, that would be wiped out from the map. So this is one of the very important factors that all tourism growth and travel motivation should have in it, an element of ecotourism and sustainable tourism added or pasted along with any travel motivation. If you go down somewhere, you have to think of ecotourism, you have to think of responsible tourism. One has to think seriously about the environment around us, ecotourism, and definitely avoid mass tourism, because then mass tourism will result into, yes, more revenues, more numbers, but then sooner or later, as I mentioned, the heritage side, the ecological side, the natural sites that we have will start disappearing, including the landscapes that we see as a gift to us by nature, if they are overlooked. Like we see people taking bath under the waterfalls, and not only bath, but simply putting up all sort of chemicals, shampoo, soap, and taking a bath into that. That is destroying your ecosystem totally. Yes, so myself being a sincere champion for sustainable tourism, I always share this with my tourism students around the world, that importance of ecotourism has to be always bound in your mindset. Whenever you go, have to think of ecology around you, have to think of sustainability, always have to think about the host community that lives within that area. Well, we are talking on travel motivation. and I'm Professor Sheikh Amatullah talking to you and trying to explain to you with best of my capacity for you to understand. Let's move further, and we pick up the physical and psychological factor in travel motivation. As I highlighted in the beginning, enjoying calmness, relaxation, and natural beauty of the places. There are certain travelers who don't want to get connected with the practical world at all when they go for these type of holidays, where they would like to relax and they will leave their mobile phone, they will not open up a TV, they will not go to see any news, they will just go into calmness. Because gone are the days when people were going for calmness, relaxation, up in the hills and mountains. Very few people would take up that, but most of the people find this type of psychological and physical need, they do it at those resorts that have been exclusively built with this in mindset of relaxation. So people get motivated. Who else would need motivation in psychological or physical requirement than the people who lead a stressful life like Muslim biker do, where we are putting up so much of hardship just to go from place of residence to place of work. So that's why people go for a short break, no matter if it is only for 2 days, people go in the nearby places. Then of course, taking part and participation in outdoor sports or relaxed activities such as sailing, skiing, trekking, skydiving, or parachuting, safaris, etc. All these are your physical need. So when we pick up point by point like sailing, yes, there are a lot of people who go not only sailing, some those snorkeling. This is what Maldives attract tourists for. This is what Lakshadweep in our country invites people for, parasailing and for snorkeling, where you are relaxed, you are not bothered about anything around you. You are not concerned about what's happening on the television, what's happening around your own country. You are just relaxed. And skiing, of course, skiing only can happen where there is snow, of course. Of course, there are desert skiing as well. People do this skiing, sort of a desert skiing in the sand dunes in Gulf countries like in Dubai or in other parts where they have sand dunes. If we do it in Rajasthan, for example, some activity, they run carts with the skiing activities on the sand. Trekking, very popular with the youth. There are trekking institutes, societies, and groups where people go for trekking. Those who cannot afford to go down to longer distance, they do it in the Western Ghat of Maharashtra also. Or people go in Madhya Pradesh and Rajasthan to Satpara Mountain. People go down in different places where they have availability of trekking. And we do have mountains or hills, something like 1,000 meters, 2,000 meters, and people pick up this trekking activity. Skydiving, of course, is a hobby or an activity which needs a lot of funding because you can skydive. Yes, paragliding you can do in Sikkim or in the mountainous area, but skydiving, you need to be in the air to skydive. And this is an expensive relaxation practice. Parachuting, again, people do it. And then not to forget the safaris. Safaris is a word taken out of the Arabic word safar. Safar means to travel. And the activity that has been picked up to travel is termed as safari, where people used to go down into wild, and that was termed, tossed in Swahili as safari, means going out of your villages into, as a traveler, into the wild. So safari literally means to travel. And that was safaris. Now we generally think of safaris going down to Africa and then going into the wild safari. You have a safari, desert safari in Egypt, in UAE, in Gulf countries where people go down into the desert and go for safari. All these are linked as a physical motivation. And that encourages people to travel. social and interpersonal. Now, when we talk of social, as we all know, that human being is known as a social animal. So we, human being, love to be with the people around us in any form. And what else can be a better form than meeting your own relatives, friends? And this travel motivation is very common. Now we do, we hear families going down to nearby station for a wedding ceremony. You now hear social travel motivation. A lot of celebrities are getting married. A lot of dignitaries get married outside their home environment, not like traditionally it used to be where you live. Now you hear people having their 50th wedding anniversary being held in Jaipur, where two or three aircrafts go. Somebody celebrate XYZ's wedding, their son's wedding, daughter's wedding, and invite celebrities from all over the world. It all depends. Now, on a smaller scale, for a common man, people do visit. Like grandfather is celebrating his silver wedding or golden wedding anniversary, and the grandfather, grandparent invite their children, grandchildren, and great-grandchildren on a cruise ship. All these are travel motivation. So the grandchildren would come from all over the world or out of US or Canada and all go on a specific cruise sailing. They sail on a cruise ship. This is also travel motivation. Traveling for social purposes, for various family functions. I counted on different functions, and you can think of anything that happens these days, people who love to take up as a travel motivation and get motivated for purely social and impersonal level, interpersonal level, I'm sorry. So, but having said this, I counted on the bigger one where celebrities get married in Italy or in Europe or States, etc., or locally 50th wedding anniversary celebrated in Jaipur, XYZ. More than that, of course, on a very small scale, those who have got smaller family, micro family, they would go down and meet them in Dubai. They would go and meet them in US on a very small scale, yes, but that is a travel motivation. Health and medical, visiting places for treatment, recuperation, that is definitely one of the reasons we get a lot of medical tourists coming to India for different type of tourists. We have tourists coming in for their medical treatment from many countries in Africa, many Gulf countries. They come to Mumbai, they go to Delhi, they go to Apollo Hospital in South India, in Bengaluru and Chennai, purely for medical treatment. A lot of medical cases come to Tata Hospital for the cancer treatment. Internationally, once upon a time, many babies who were born with a hole in the heart were coming in for treatment to Mumbai at Asian Heart Hospital. That motivated them to medical attention, and they travel. Oh, few countries have gained a lot of importance in medical tourism. People go down to, I would count on, say, for example, the film actress Koirala. She was Manisha Koirala. She traveled all that for her treatment to US and so on. Ambani's, Kokila Ben Ambani Hospital, a lot of such medical international and domestic tourists who are domestic travelers. But of course, they are medical tourism, so they can be termed as tourists. They have come in exclusive for medical treatment, and they are therefore treating themselves to get out of that medical issue. And many such examples can be given for people traveling for treatment and recuperation. So moving further, in search of fitness, health, and wellness, it can be linked to health, but not medical, because you are fit, but you like to remain more active, more fit, lose some weight, put down your belly, and detoxify and come into great action. All this is part of your health treatment. Likewise, discovering warm relaxation at sea coast or beaches. This is coast, so C-O-A-S-T, sea coast or beaches. People do go down for, and I'll give the example of Russians, North Europeans, who don't have the sun shining for them. So to get the sunshine, they were coming in big number to Goa once upon a time. Of course, Goa has lost a lot of international tourists in recent years. This is not a point of discussion, but yes, now Russia doesn't send a lot of tourists to Goa. Instead, now they are going to another country. Chinese are coming to the country I'm naming, Maldives, purely for sea and beaches. Yes, people from Australia go down to Bali. People from Australia come to Phuket in Bangkok, which are beaches, which are sea coasts. Yes, so people go down to get the sun, which they don't get in their country for more than 4 to 5 months. And that's the travel motivation they have. Now we come to attitude of the buyers. I have highlighted that attitude, which in my previous lecture, that attitude is not what we generally believe in our day-to-day usage. Attitude, people say that because of your status, because of your learning, because of your education, every single person should have an attitude. And that is in the positive sense. Generally, in the society, attitude is taken in a negative sense. I'm not here to explain more onto that, but let's move further. Buyers and their attitudes. Now, we pick up a theory from Maslow, the famous theory of the Maslow, which is Maslow's hierarchy. Following are the primary motivational levels. The Maslow's hierarchy theory puts up into the three different stages. They are the settler. They are sustenance-driven, who are happy with what they get. There are people who, this is Maslow's basic primary motivational. So people, what they get, they are happy. They settle down for anything. Okay, this is a wonderful. I'm flying on the flight. I have a comfortable seat. I have a window. Okay, fine. But no, the next one is prospector, who are outer directed. And the last are the people, the pioneer. We'll learn more in the following slides. So these three stages or the hierarchy of Maslow's definition is settler, prospector, and pioneer. Let's learn about them. I would go back on this slide again. The settlers, they are sustenance-driven, so whichever they get, they agree on it. Then there are prospectors who look for outer directed, who are getting whatever is shown to them. They are happy about that. And then those who are pioneers, that means what they get and what they want is pioneer. They would go for and they would expect this. So once you are settler, then you go for prospector. That's the second stage. The third stage comes the pioneer, which means whatever I can pay for, whatever I can demand for, I should get. This is Maslow's theory. Now we go to the sustenance-driven refers to the needs. First, let's see what are the needs. Core psychological needs, the core basic needs. What are the psychological needs? These are all counts on Maslow's theory. Safety and security and belongings. These are the three steps we will learn. So core physical need, basic need. What is our basic psychological need? Food, shelter, and water. Then safety, then comes safety and security. And then comes to belonging. And in the sustenance pastor's sustenance driven, you need to get identification. How do you identify yourself? You pick up rules. Wherever you go as a tourist, in that you need to have and abide by the rules. Then you look at the proprietary thing. Well, you own a passport, that's your proprietary thing. You demand for a safety. Yes, definitely, you would need safety as your main concern. When you are on a holiday, you should place and identify a place where safety is available for me. And then, of course, is there an adventure? If not, then is there creativity? And then what I would be a successful tourist in the marketing part. All these are counted on the then. So we look at the sustenance-driven characteristic now. Now, sustenance-driven characteristic, which we have seen in the past, we'll add this further to that. Family and home. And caring for them tend to be the center. Me, my family, and my home, for many of us, rather almost every one of us, think of my family first. I would make everything possible that I can do for my family and my safety of home. And caring for them tend to be all the... Why do we work? Just for the family, to raise family and to take care of my home. So that is the sustenance driven. Then comes for those living alone. Friends take the place of family. So when you leave, like most people who live as PGs or those who come here to work in Mumbai from different places for study, for higher education, for them, they will make good friends who will work as friends and the family member in case of needs, in case of medical care. The provider to services will be those friends whom they have made. Again, looking this as the sustenance-driven element. Then the tradition and family structure are important. So anything, having said this, majority of us will still be following our own tradition. Whether you live here, like people go, excuse me, people go down to US or Canada, but then they still live with our tradition whenever any activity with regard to your traditional activity need to be followed. We still celebrate Diwali. We celebrate other festivals wherever we go. And our family structure is important. And now this is an outcome of a micro family. Then prefer things to be normal. Yeah, this is very important thing which we care for. The characteristic of sustenance driven is things should be normal. I don't want to take any type of a risk. I would like to be in a scenario where things work normally. Then we have more comfortable with regular and routine situation. Yes. So if trains run on time, I get up at 7 o'clock, I take my breakfast and I'm out for my work at 8:30. This is the routine and I'm happy with that. There are a lot of people who have come to Mumbai from different parts of other cities and they have got themselves settled because they have this focus of raising the family if they are not with the family here. And in course of time, they would bring. So all these sustenance-driven characteristics suggest different things which we have taken, giving prime importance to family and home. And then if you are staying alone for certain reason, then your friends become, for example, people working in US, in Silicon Valley or wherever in US, they have made local friends. Who could be an Indian, who could be a foreigner, but that has become their family until they take their family there. We celebrate traditional activities, etc.